Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off. And I just want to remind you of a couple of things and say some, point out a few introductory things just for foundation sake. But locate Ephesians 1 in your Bibles. We'll start with verse 15. And I want to kind of go through real briefly, if I can, kind of where what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. We started in the spirit world teaching on spirit openings, portals, if you will. This is a term that's being used now by the secular world as well as the Christian world. This idea of portals being opened up from earth to heaven. Some are even teaching in the secular world that there could be somewhat supernatural portals being opened from earth to heaven. Okay? We know that the Word of God teaches this real plainly in many different passages. Last week, we gave you some biblical accounts of spirit openings. If you can follow this line of thought, even the fall of Satan is an opening or a portal that was opened from heaven to earth when he fell. He fell from heaven to earth. And then his title became the Prince of the Power of the Air. We know that according to Paul's teachings in the book of Ephesians, that the second heavens are filled with principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. Then we have the reference in Daniel where there was a war between the angels of God and the principalities in the second heaven realm that held up the answer coming to Daniel's fasting and praying for 21 days. So there's all these biblical accounts of openings. When Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened, the Bible said. And God spoke from heaven and the Spirit descended. If you will, the very rapture of the church is a portal. It's Jesus coming in the middle of the air, causing us to rise up to meet him in the middle of the air, and then so shall we ever be with the Lord. So these various portals are constantly being opened, and I also believe constantly being shut, depending on behavior. Now, all portals are not good. There are some portals that are opened that are bad. Here's the way we correlate that. Listen closely to this. This is important. In the diagram of the nature of man, the threefold nature of man, you have body, soul, and spirit. The physical side of our being correlates with the first heaven. That is the natural things that we can understand through the senses of our flesh. Then you have the soulish realm that I believe is tied to the second heavens. We are more vulnerable to demonic attack in our emotions, our affection, our desire. All of those are soulish things. And we've entered into an age, unfortunately, where people want to feel good about themselves, or they want to feel good about what they're doing, or they want to feel something. Okay? All of those things are soulish. Doesn't necessarily mean they have to be bad. How many of you are glad we have a God we can feel? How many of you are glad that you can feel the presence of God? But can I tell you this? That is a spirit revelation that then affects the soulish realm. So if you're totally operating off of first heaven or second heaven revelation, you're still trapped in flesh and soul, and you've left spirit out. If you leave spirit out, then all that you have to govern yourself is based off of the way you feel. Now, how many of you have ever felt depressed? How many of you have ever felt sadness? How many of you have ever felt inferior? How many of you have ever felt worthless? So you can name all of these various emotions that we feel. Now, if you compare those emotions to how we're supposed to feel directed by the Word of God, the Scripture tells us that we're supposed to be filled with joy, peace, contentment. Well, how do we attain to those emotions? It has to be spirit revelation invading the soulless realm. So this discussion of portals is extremely important, and our understanding of that is extremely important. This past week, I was made aware of a term that has kind of got under my skin a little bit. It's a term called progressive Christianity. And in this idea of progressive Christianity, they do a teaching, and the principles, the underlying principles of this ideology, if we call it that, is based upon the acceptance of sinful behavior. Now, I want you to hear what I'm about to say here, because this has been a process in my mind that I've had to kind of go through a process to even grab a hold of. And I need to explain to you a little bit about my history, okay? In the church that we pastored, Mark's here, Ken's here, Joe's here. In the church that we pastored, they were a part of it. They can testify to what we're about to say. We were a church that welcomed everyone. We wanted everyone. Matter of fact, very often, I can remember making a call and a plea for all of those that were drunk to come, and they showed up. We would make a plea for the drug addicts to come. We didn't just make a plea for it. We went and got them. We would pick them up and bring them to church. We made a call for the homeless to come. Matter of fact, we didn't just make a call for it. We bought some land in the hardest section in Statesville, and we would use that as an outreach center to get homeless people and then bring them to church. We made a call for prostitutes to come, and they showed up. And I welcomed them there. I wanted them there. I'm fixing to tell you something here that's going to sound controversial, and it's going to even sound a little bit against the character of what you've heard me say, but if you'll evaluate it, it's actually in agreement with what I'm about to say. I want you to hear this. Sin, hear this, your sin is a bigger deal to you than it is to God. You hear that? Let me say it one more time. Your sin is a much bigger deal to you than it is to God. Here's why. Your sin is just now coming into your awareness, but God already knew about it. It didn't take him by surprise. As a matter of fact, he so already knew about it that he prearranged payment for it. You're just now becoming aware of your own sin. So when we use the word sin, it's tainted with all of these ideas that floats in our mind that if you talk about sin, then, boy, you must think you're holier than anybody else. No, as a matter of fact, you find somebody talks about sin a lot, here's what you'll learn. You'll learn that they've become aware of theirs at a rapid rate. And they know the answer. I want you to listen closely to what I'm about to tell you. Though we invited everyone to come in, the drunk, the drug addict, the prostitute, anybody you can name, though we invited them to come in, we did not want them to leave the same way they got there. We wanted to love them. Did you hear what I said? We wanted to love them. The greatest way to love someone who is caught up in sinful behavior is to show them that they don't have to stay there. If you want to hate a particular group that is exhibiting behavior that's contrary to the Word of God, tell them it's okay to stay that way. That's the way you hate them. because it does damage to them. So this term of progressive Christianity has found its way into the church, and this is their ideology. Their ideology is, hey, come just like you are and stay just like you are. That's not loving them. That's hating them. How did we get to a place where on churches' websites they can try to validate sinful behavior and be open about it and teach it as a message to people? How did we get there? Well, we got there this way. There are portals being opened from heaven to earth. Some of them are second heaven portals, which are filled with demonic influence. Some of them are third heaven portals, which are filled with Holy Spirit power. But what we're seeing evidence of now is more second heaven, soulish realm portals being open than what we see third heaven portals open. That's what's happening. Now, whether you know it or not, God has called all of us who know Jesus as Savior to live in a third heaven type revelation. In a third heaven opened portal. That's why I pray all the time. You've heard me pray this before. God, give an open heaven above the grace place. God, give an open heaven above our lives. Can I tell you this is the truth? When I go down the road or whatever, I'm spending my time in prayer and I'm praying for you, I pray that there is an open heaven above you. I'm constantly praying that. I pray that all the time. I pray, God, open the heavens above them so that real third heaven revelation can take place. Now, I call you back to Paul's experience in 2 Corinthians. We've talked about several times where Paul said this, I was caught up, he said, to the third heaven. And he said, whether in my body or out of my body, I couldn't tell. You know what it means? He was disassociated from first heaven revelation. He had gotten victory over second heaven revelation, and he was now dwelling in third heaven revelation. And he said it was so powerful, there was things I heard there that I can't even tell you. He called it unlawful for me to utter. In other words, it would violate the laws of your soul and your flesh if I spoke this third heaven revelation to you. Listen, can I tell you the greatest place you'll ever find yourself in is when you are offended by your own flesh or your own soulish desire. When you get to that place, you can really peek in to third heaven revelation. It's this opening of third heaven revelation I want to talk to you about, because in that revelation, here's what you'll learn. You'll learn that you will develop a love and a compassion for those trapped in a lifestyle that is contrary to the Word of God. You will find that you are in love with those that are trapped in a lifestyle of homosexuality, those in a lifestyle of drunkenness and addiction, those that are in a lifestyle of drugs and alcohol, those that are in a lifestyle, listen, those that are in a lifestyle of depression. Did you hear that? Now, there's individual teachings to all of this. For example, did you know that depression is more than just an emotion? It's a spirit. Did you know that? Did you know that any kind of addiction is a spirit? Second heaven, first heaven, third heaven. I'd love for us to be addicted to Jesus, wouldn't you? And to His Word. I would love to be addicted to the presence of God in our life. If you want true joy, if you want true contentment, true satisfaction, you must begin with the opening of the heavens above your life and peering into third heaven revelation. Now, I don't know that this is going to be understood, but I've been grappling with a statement that I've been making over and over and over and over again, and the Lord seems to be adding to it. And please hear this. And again, I say, hear my heart more than my words. If you can tap into the spirit of what I'm about to tell you, I think it'll bring some understanding, I think. But listen to this. I've been saying for a while now, we're constantly looking for natural explanations to supernatural events. And that seems to be almost a disease with the church, that we're looking for natural explanations to supernatural events. How many of you have noticed that in the secular world, there are some things that just don't make any sense? How can we arrive at such conclusions that just don't make any sense? So we look for natural explanations to put to supernatural events. I want to submit to you that many in our government, though they don't know it, are operating under spiritual influence. And natural explanations will not fit that. Logic and reason cannot be applied to something so irrational and illogical that it no longer makes sense. So if we're constantly looking for natural explanations to supernatural events, we end up with nothing. Here's the perplexing part. The world seems to be looking for supernatural explanations to describe natural events. Should be the exact opposite. Are you with me? Here's the strategy of Satan, if you can hear this, and I'm hoping this will sink into our way of thinking. Here's the strategy of Satan. He is attempting to rob our message. He's attempting to steal our very message. He's trying to relegate the people of God down to the natural things of life, because we don't want to come off as weird and radical in our ideology or our thinking. We want to be accepted by society. We want to be a respectable church. Let me tell you something. If you want the anointing of God, you'll have to trade your respectability for the anointing. Every time. Every time. How many are saved? No, you're saved. Can I explain something to you? You're placing faith in a man you've never seen, who died on a cross in which you wasn't there to witness, who rose again from the dead, of which most have never seen that occur. And you believe that he ascended from earth to heaven, and one day he's going to come and stand in the middle of the air. How irrational does that sound? Hello? You lost your respectability concerning the world's standards when you received Christ as your Savior. Yet we are seeking after that even now. And the world knows they don't have the answer. That's why they are reaching out for more supernatural events. Here's the problem. They're opening second heaven portals at a quicker rate than you and I are opening third heaven portals. As a result of it, darkness is prevailing. Blindness is prevailing. A lack of wisdom is prevailing. Now, I hope you found Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. This is a passage we've talked about before previously. I think it's one of the foundational passages that Paul writes in any of his epistles. I believe it is. I want you to look at Ephesians 1, verse 15. This is how he begins, and this is what he says. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So he gives the importance and the significance to our prayer life in those two verses. And then he continues. And here's what his prayer is. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, watch this, in the heavenly places. Y'all see that? Where is this heavenly places? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what do we gain from walking in heavenly places. If we continued on, I'm just going to give you this in the second chapter of Ephesians. Here's what it said about you. And again, I have to ask the question, how many of you have received Christ as your Savior? According to what Paul writes in the next chapter, which is why he's given us this passage, he says that you have been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Did you know that's not a future tense phrase that he uses either? It is a present, abiding truth that is in reality right now. You've been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places right now. In other words, you've been called to operate off of third heaven revelation. Not second heaven and not first heaven, but third heaven revelation. And so what is it that we gain from walking in heavenly places? So here's the first statement that we'll make. Heavenly places are given to those of faith and engage in praise and in intercession. Okay, here's the pathway to get into heavenly places. Listen to it again. Heavenly places are given to those of faith and who engage in praise and intercession. Go back to verse 15. Listen again. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints. Can I just pause there? Now listen closely. Faith is trying to be redefined by the world as, instead of faith, it has to be sight. Show me evidence. Okay? Jesus said, blessed are those that believe and then see. But the secular world operates in opposite. Okay? The secular world says, here, I'm going to show you something so you can believe. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Make it, now, listen. Did you know that we're even guilty of the same thing? Let's go tell them so they'll believe. This is the process that I've been in. I'm trying to think back and reflect, and I want you to hear this. I want you to listen to this. I take you back to the same church that I was talking about before when we had a congregation, and I don't even know how, it was all miraculous by God. We did not have the resources to do what we done. Okay, there was no way. We had very few people in the church that even had a job, much less money to pull it off. And at one time, there was, Mark can attest to this, I know, and Joe and Ken, there was a time we had about 30 people working there. Have no idea how we pulled it off. I still to this day don't know. But money would be there. It was miraculous to the point of like the woman that Elijah said, fix me something to eat. And she just kept going back to the barrel and there was just enough there. Just enough there. And we'd feed people and clothe them and try to help them. And we didn't have the resources to pull it off. But I do remember this. Every Sunday, there'd be a congregation, a building full of people that were homeless. Some of them were still high and smelled of alcohol. They would come out of the strip clubs. They'd come from everywhere. And can I tell you something? I do not remember ever having to preach against their lifestyle. Don't remember having to do it. At that season, at that time, people would gather and we'd preach the love of Jesus. And you know what would happen? They'd get saved. And I've told this story 100 times. I was reminded of it this week. There was a man who was a drunk, and he would call me constantly, and he'd be drunk, and he'd, preacher, will you come get me? I can't drive. And I'd go get him, take him home. And he, a couple days, preacher, you're the only one I can call. I don't know what. And I'd go get him, take him home. His wife was just fired, slap up. And she was a kind, and honestly, I was scared to death. She's just going to take a ball bat and beat him, you know. And I'll never forget one time I took him home and put him to bed. He was a sloppy drunk. He couldn't hardly walk. And I put him to bed, and I was in there consoling his wife and telling her, hey, now listen, we're going to wait till he sobers up. In the morning, I'm going to come back over here. We're going to get him. You just pray. You got to keep praying. And while I was talking to his wife, the phone rung. She picked it up and rolled her eyes and handed me the phone. And I said, hello. And he had snuck out the bedroom window and got in another car and took off, was drinking again. So I run out of answers with the guy. I told him, I said, look, you just come to church. And he called me one time, said, come get me. I said, I ain't coming. Not till you promise me you're going to be at church. I'll come. All right, so he came. He sat back there in the back. Nothing happened. That week, he was drunk again. I said, look, I've run out of answers for you. I don't know what to tell you. Come to church. But this time, you got to sit on the front row. He said, preacher, everybody knows me down there. They know I'm a drunk. I said, I don't care. You want me to help you? You're sitting on the front row. He said, on the front row, nothing happened. That week, same thing. I said, okay, I'll come get you, but you're going to sit on the front row. And this time, when the music starts, you get both hands up in the air. He said, preacher, everybody going to laugh at me. They know. I said, I don't care. I'm not helping you no more. I've had it with you. Them hands better be up. That Sunday, he came, he was standing on the front row, music started, and I looked at him. I was standing on the stage, and I went. And I kept motioning until he got his hands up. And I'll never forget it. I looked at him, and he was looking around. He got his hands up like this. He finally just ducked his head, and he got his hands up. Music started. And I noticed during a minute, his head was a bobbing. And I looked, and he was crying so hard he couldn't hardly stand it. He hit the altar. He started crying out to the Lord. And last I heard, the man ain't had a drink since. He was one of the most faithful members that I ever had. He'd get in the car with me and ride all over the country where I'd go preach with me. He'd take me to go preach. And listen, crazy as a bed bug, but something happened in his life. It changed that man's life. It set him free. I run out of answers. You know what happened? A supernatural intervention from God that can't be put in words invaded that man's life. That's the kind of stuff we saw over a period of time, years, where things like that would happen. Here's what I'm telling you. Listen to me. When third heaven revelation is opened above our head, then something supernatural takes place, and you can't preach that. You can't teach that. It's not something that can be taught. It's something that must be caught. Did you hear that? So there must be a violation of your soul and your flesh in order for your spirit to become awakened. Heavenly places are given to those of faith. And then when Paul said, not only did I hear of your faith in the Lord Jesus, but here's what he went on to say. He said, and your love unto all the saints. Now watch this. Listen to me. I hated what had happened in that man's life. And I hated it because I know that when you give yourself to your own soul and your own flesh, you destroy your own life. So when I say to somebody, hey, look, you might be enslaved in a world of homosexuality, but you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. And I'm going to love you enough to tell you you don't have to stay there. I'm also going to love you enough to tell you that that lifestyle offends God. And I didn't make that up. God said it. Everybody, please shake your head this way. Say amen. And if we tell that crowd, oh, don't worry about your lifestyle, just come on. God loves everybody. Number one, it's a lie. Number two, you're showing you don't love them. Paul said to those of faith, I also heard of your love for the saints. True love is going to tell, listen, did you know that wasn't too long back, Haley decided, I was gone, and Haley decided she was going to mow, and she cut the internet cord, and she called her daddy. Now, that was the right thing to do. I don't know nothing about internet nor cords, but she called her daddy. And listen, thousand wonders that Joe Barrett didn't have heart surgery. Well, here's what Haley said. Haley said, Daddy, I was mowing. Well, immediately in his mind, he goes back to when she was mowing here and had an accident, tore her knee up. First thing he thought of. See, the reason I know that's the first thing he thought of, because after she called him, she called me. And she said, baby doll, she said, I was mowing. And I thought, dear God in heaven, I've told you not to do that. Right? Oh, she sent me into his, and all it was is she just tore the internet up. And I could care less about that part, but can I tell you, I was glad to know she was safe. And I've told her 1,000 times, don't mow the yard. Do you know why I've told her, don't mow the yard? Because for her, it's unsafe. Right? I love her enough that I don't want her to have to go through that again. And God in heaven knows I love myself enough that I can't go through that again. Ugh. Amen. Can I tell you something? I love those that are trapped in sin enough to say, it's time to get out of that. It's killing you. Don't do it no more. That's not considered, should be considered hard preaching. That ought to be considered you loving somebody. Amen. And so when Paul's making mention of love to the saints, and I can tell you this, if you go back to the original language, love to the saints implies instruction. Part of the very definition of the love of God, it implies instruction. Now watch, there was a reason why back in the day, I didn't have to preach against their lifestyle. Can I tell you why? Even the world then knew the lifestyle was wrong. Hello? And in many ways they do now. They still do. That's why they have things called rehab centers. Ask any working psychologist if some of the behavior that is supposed to be accepted today creates problems. That's why the world's looking for answers they don't have. Please tell me y'all are hearing what I'm saying. See, the only way to really properly enter into heavenly places, Paul is the one who sets that standard for us. I was called up to the third heaven, he said. All right, here he's saying in verse 15, he said, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. How many of you really want to sail into third heaven open portals? You want to go there? I've only started this one slide. It's time to quit, okay? But listen to this, and then we'll pick up here next week. If you really want to enter into third heaven revelation, you got to spend your time in intercession and in praise. That is what opens up third heaven portals. That's the beginning part of opening third heaven portals. Listen, do you know that when that man was standing on that front row and he put his hands up, Can I tell you that he didn't put his hands up because, oh, he was just so filled with joy. He was putting his hands up because I made him. He didn't mean a bit of it. But when he got it done, something happened. A supernatural transference. You know what it tells you? Praising God's not based on how you feel. It's an act of obedience. Uh-oh. Now we enter into a whole nother world. Now we can begin to really truly define our faith by our obedience. James said in his writing, half brother to the Lord Jesus, I'll show you my faith by my works. Praising God is more powerful when you don't feel like it than it is when you're filled with glory and them hands just have to come up. I've experienced times when I was filled with the presence of God to the point that they wasn't nothing going to hold my hands down. Why, good grief. My hands was going up whether I wanted to be up or not. Tears was going to come whether I wanted them to or not. But that's not real sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice of praise is when you, as the psalmist David said, enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise beyond what you feel. It's like Job said when he said this, you might slay me, but yet I will trust you. I may die, but I'm still going to praise you. Did you hear what I said? Did you listen to what I said? If you don't catch nothing else, catch this. If there's ever going to be an open heaven above your life or above this church, it's going to come when people praise God regardless of how they feel. Amen. If you're doing it based off of how you feel, that's soul. If you're doing it as an act of obedience, that's spirit. And spiritual power will meet an act of faith. Why did Jesus said this at one place, I'm done. Jesus said this at one place, I couldn't do any miracles here because there was no faith. When faith rises, supernatural power meets it. Uh-oh. And if an open heaven takes place, God is going to speak from heaven to your heart, to your spirit. You may be the only one to hear it, but you'll hear it. And the Spirit of God will come upon you like a dove. And that convergence of spirit of man to spirit of God will produce an infilling that will change your behavior. Can I tell y'all something? I've gotten way too old to change now. I need help from God in order to change from this point on. I'm willing to change. I know I'm a work yet in progress. And I also know this, my sin is a bigger deal to me than it is to God. So if I can lay that at the foot of the cross, then I can walk in resurrection power and there'll be an open heaven above me. Please, everybody say amen. So here's my prayer and I'm done. Father, give us an open heaven above every individual and above this church. I pray that from this point on, intercession and praise will be elevated to a new level here. And let's begin this journey of embracing the heavenly places you've called us to sit at with you. Lord, may conviction of the Holy Spirit come upon us. And Lord, we know that the only way that can happen is if there's an open heaven. May praise be the symphony that is released from this congregation. May we worship you as an act of obedience and not motivated out of just soulish emotion. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your word. We give you praise in Jesus' name.